again, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, if you're without faith, you're without hope. If you're without faith, you're without hope. If you're without faith, you're without substance. If you're without faith, you're without evidence. Makes faith pretty important, doesn't it? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. Without faith it is impossible to please God. Reading from the King James, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we can go on and read about Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and all the others that lived by faith and died in faith. And praise the Lord. That's wonderful to read. But we have to stop and comment on verse 6 again today before we go into verse 7. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You know, a lot of us love to witness in this old world. We love to tell people about Jesus and the love of God for them. We love to see people's lives transformed. We love to see them lay down the ungodly things of this world and pick up a holy Bible and begin to do righteous things, right things, that is. We love to witness. I love to witness. And I don't mind witnessing to atheists. And I've said this before. Let me say it again. The atheist will never conquer me because I have more faith than he has unbelief. I think God gave me that statement, and I love it, and I'm standing on it, and I'd like to impress everybody else with it so they could make it a part of their lives. If you have more faith than they have unbelief, you may influence them. They will not influence you. So you see how important it is for us to have faith. Faith that's growing. Exceeding great faith. Faith that the Lord just doesn't see everywhere. And so we go out and we witness to people. And we're not afraid to witness to them because we have more faith than they have unbelief. But you better make sure you have more faith than they have unbelief. Or you may find yourselves trying to answer their questions, not being able to, becoming embarrassed because you didn't have an answer, and then joining their side. But you made the mistake. People make the mistake of thinking because they don't have an answer, there is no answer. Just because I don't have an answer to a question doesn't mean there isn't an answer. Amen. God has an answer to any question any man can ask. And he has the perfect answer. And our job, our duty, our responsibility while we walk this life is learn those answers. And until we do, we just say to ourselves, and we say to the person we're witnessing to, I don't have an answer at this time. But I'll go to the one who does have an answer, and I have an unction from the Holy One, and he will show me all things. Praise the Lord. And if we'll go to him humbly, he will show us things. I remember a man came to my house one time, and he asked me a question I did not know the answer to. I said, you come back and I'll have the answer. Where are you going to get it? I'm going to get it from God. So I went to prayer and God gave me an answer. The result, the man was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost at Pentecostal Assembly Church. That's a true story. All right. So we go out witnessing and we find out that other people don't have the faith that we have. Paul said, all men have not faith. So he prayed, deliver me from these unfaithful men, these wicked, unreasonable men, for all men have not faith. So you go out and you witness to somebody and you walk into a wall of unbelief. And even when somebody shows a little bit of interest and you get them to church, you still have all kinds of unbelief to drive out of them. You have to bring the Word of God to them, and the Word of God has to displace that faith. We have to get faith into them and drive their unbelief out. And the reason there's so much unbelief in people in the world and so little faith in people in the world, and I might just say this too, even in a lot of churches, the reason is that this land is constantly fed a steady diet on a daily basis of unbelief. You get it over the television set. Unbelief. Story after story. Ridiculing religion. Ridiculing the Bible. Ridiculing morals and decent living today. And you sit and watch a television set and just watch anything that comes across, your faith is going to wane until you might lose it all. You have to be careful. David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. He had to protect his faith. Paul said, I have kept the faith. That word kept in the Greek means that I have guarded it by keeping my eye upon it. I don't let anything influence my faith wrongly or negatively. I guide my faith or guard my faith. I keep my eye on it. I watch it. I protect it. I read in the paper anyway that Liz Taylor has to pay $1,000 a day for a bodyguard to protect her diamonds that she wears. Can you imagine? Isn't that $365,000 a year? Hey, folks, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. To guard a jewel, a diamond that she wears on her body. Look, you and I have something of far more value than a jewel or a diamond in our hearts. And we need to guard it by keeping our eye upon it and watching it and set no wicked thing before our eyes. This land of ours is fed a steady diet on a daily basis of unbelief. And that unbelief is piped into our homes via the television set. And the devil is just trying to take that faith out of us. An old friend of mine said, he said, you watch television 5 minutes and it'll drain 5 years of faith that you have built up out of your life. Well, it wouldn't take too many 5 minute segments before your faith is gone. And don't think that we're so strong that we can stand to give up our faith and still stand for God. We can't do it. We need our faith. What about the movies that are shown and the attacks on preachers and upon Christianity? And it just seems like they have the greatest joy in presenting those things to destroy anybody's faith in God or in the church or in religion. So when you go out and witness, you come face to face with unbelief. What about education? Is there any unbelief taught in our public education system? Well, the first thing that's wrong is that when they say goodbye to God, what are they saying hello to? If we don't have room for God, what do we have room for? Now look, I am not knocking education. Please understand that. But I want to talk about education for a minute, because that is a source of unbelief. That's one of the greatest sources of unbelief in America, or maybe the world today. I've been in America. I haven't been in the whole world. I want to make a statement. True knowledge, true wisdom cannot be had. True education cannot be had without acknowledging God. And so we are not getting true education where God is not recognized. That's cut and dried. That's flat out. That's true. That's right. I'm telling you the truth. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And when you say, God, we don't want you in education, you are not getting a true education. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the Bible also says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Amen. So you can see where the world stands and why there's such a great contrast between you and I and the world today. We have faith and they are without faith. When they kick God out. You know what I'm saying? And when we Christians begin to think that true knowledge and true wisdom can be had without acknowledging God, our faith will begin to wane and will soon be gone. You know that so much of television, so much of movies, and so much of these videos are designed to spoil us of our faith, to rob us of our faith. Oh, how careful we have to be. We need to read things, watch things, see things, listen to things, come to church and watch and hear and see things that will build our faith. How many of us have so much faith that we just don't have room for any more? We don't need any more faith. We all need more faith. More, more, more faith. Amen. Let my faith grow. And I feel my faith growing. I feel it growing daily. I feel my faith growing. I feel it growing daily. I hope you do. You can feel your faith growing daily. If you read your Bible daily, if you pray daily, the Bible says, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So how can you pray in the Holy Ghost without building yourself up in your faith? If faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, how can your faith help but grow if you're reading the Word of God daily? But if you're neglecting the Word of God, and you're neglecting praying in the Holy Ghost, and you're neglecting spiritual activities, how can your faith grow at all? Unbelief will grow, and there's a battle going on every day. It's faith versus unbelief. That is the fundamental battle. That's the major battle going on in the world today. Faith versus unbelief. God wants us to believe. The devil doesn't want us to believe. And oh, praise the Lord. Thank God for our faith today. So, I think that when we try to educate people into, I was going to say morality, but I don't. I'd have to have the world's definition for morality first, and I don't. I'm not sure they got. I'm not sure they have. I don't know. Do they? I have some questions. Let's go on. Okay. Unbelief says we must make, and they use a three-letter word, and I hate it. We must make immorality safe. We're going to educate you. Educate me and show me how to be immorally safe, and then we'll expel you if you do what we have already encouraged you to do. Sick, sick, sick. Or is it 666? Anyway, it's 666. You know it, and I know it, and some of you know what I'm talking about exactly. And so there's a battle going on. Who's right? Who's wrong? God is right. But when you kick God out, you don't know what's right anymore. You know what you do? Look up the word in the dictionary. You go stupid. Look it up. You'll be surprised what stupid means. You thought it meant what you called your friend. It's not really what it means. Look it up. That's what happens, though. You get into a stupor. You don't know what's right and wrong anymore. And so you end up under the prophet Isaiah's blistering words. Woe unto them that call evil good. Woe unto them that call good evil. Woe unto them that get it mixed up. We've got to know the difference between good and evil. The Bible says have your conscience exercised to discern both good and evil. Not just between, but discern them both individually. Amen. So it's unbelief that says, we will educate you. We must make immorality safe. They say we must educate the public. They say we must solve our problems through education. Well, let me tell you the problem with solving your problems with education. It is this. It never has worked. It's not working today. And it never will work. Do I know something? President Ronald Reagan did not have the answers to our problems. President George Bush did not have the answers to our problems. President Bill Clinton is not going to solve our problems. Not until God is back in America. Not until God is back in our public schools. Not until God is back in our government. Not until it's one nation, indivisible, under God. It's got to be that way, or this Bible is wrong, and this Bible is not wrong. Let God be true and every man a liar. I stand on the Word of God.
Amen.
And I am a thorn in some people's flesh. and it doesn't bother me at all. I'd rather be standing with God on Judgment Day than with this world. Hallelujah. Just let me be on God's side. I'm not taking the world's side. I'm taking God's side. And what I'm teaching this morning, my position comes from God's holy word. And you know it. You know it. You know the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know the Bible says there's a difference between right and wrong. You know the Bible says woe unto them that call evil good and woe unto them that call good evil. You know the Bible says that. I'm on God's side. Whose side are you on? If you're on God's side, give them applause. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we must educate the public. We must solve our problems through education. And I said it hasn't worked. It's not working now, and it never will work. Not unless God, and not unless the fear of God, and not unless the knowledge of God is the foundation and the basis of the education and the teaching. Brother Nichols stood up here one time and he said, "You know, I know a lot of people with degrees. I know a lot of intelligent, educated people," he said, "and they really are smart. They really have learned a lot of things." He said, "but they've learned a lot of things wrong. And what good is it to know a lot of things if they're wrong?" Amen. No, I'm smart. I'm smart. Crash. I'm also blind. You know? Wow, I knew this and this and this, but I didn't know this. Okay, hey, sure I'm on the attack. God's on the attack. God said, whoa, I just quote God. God must be the foundation. Am I right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Somebody wave your Bible if you think it's in the Bible, what I've been saying.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, Proverbs chapter 2. Do you want to turn there? Make sure I'm reading it right. I don't think you doubt me, but you know I can read. Proverbs 2, verse 1 through 12. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart," remember the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and there's no wisdom without the fear of the Lord, "and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words," and so on. Okay, that's Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through what? 15, 16? Verse 4, "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 2, that's a good one too, Psalm chapter 2, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" Psalm 2. "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." See, we're in a battle. You have to take a stand, folks. If you're a Christian, take a stand.
Amen.
Take a stand. You can't be on both sides. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day am I begotten. Thee ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Back to verse 1 and 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against the church, against the Messiah, saying, Let us destroy them. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But look what's happening in heaven. Wouldn't you like to be sitting in heaven on the throne right next to the Lord? He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Do you know what that word derision means? It means laughingstock. It means make fun of. God Almighty said, I didn't say it. I'm not the guy that's drooling over this. Listen to me. I'm reading the Word of God to you. The Bible says the Lord shall have them in derision. The Lord is up there making fun of them, making a laughingstock out of them. And the New Testament even talks about that. Don't have time to go into it. But let me go on. A man without faith is in trouble. And a man whose faith is waning and weak is already in trouble, is headed for trouble. The one without faith is already in trouble, and the one whose faith is weak or waning is headed for trouble. But a man who is strong in faith will resist the devil. You're not going to break the devil's neck, you're not going to, or back, and you're not going to stand on his neck. The Lord's going to do that, the Bible says. The Lord will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Amen. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, which bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I got so much to say. I want to talk sometime about dominion theology here, but I want to wait until I hear the official report so you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so a man who is strong in faith will resist the devil. Men. Amen. The Bible says, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16:13, Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Listen to this. Stand fast in the faith. I told this before. Let me repeat it for you that didn't hear. There was a little boy who was currying his horse, you know. Just making this old mare, you know, just really trying to make it look good. And a well-dressed gentleman comes by and he stands there and he watches this little boy currying his horse, you know, making this old, weak-looking, haggard-looking, about-to-die-looking horse look good. So he said, hey, son, tell me, can your horse run very fast? Kind of making fun of you. Little boy just kept currying. He looked back at the man. He says, no, but he can sure stand fast. Oh, I like that. I like that. And the Bible says, stand fast in the faith. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Well, I had to look up quit you like men to see what it means. You know what it means? It says act manly. Yes. Quit you like men means conduct yourself like a man.
Yes.
You know, I know a lot of men that have broad shoulders and thick chests, and big biceps, and they can press hundreds of pounds over their head, 2, 3. Paul Anderson, 400 pounds over his head. I don't know if anybody's done a whole lot more than that. Strong men. But that's not what God's talking about here. I admire strong men. I admire men who are built well and have the ability to protect their wives and their children from intruders and so on. But he's talking here about quit you like men. You know the muscle you guys have? God wants that on your spiritual man too.
Amen.
Not just on your physical man, but on your spiritual man. He wants us to exercise spiritually.
Amen.
The Bible says exercise yourselves rather unto godliness. And there is a principle that we've talked about in weightlifting. You maybe start out at, when you're a teenager, at 100 pounds, and you press it over your head 10 times for 3 sets, and then you do something else, curl and bench press and other things, you know, and they got all this weightlifting paraphernalia today that I don't know a whole lot about. But anyway, Anyway, the principle is that resistance will build you up. And so then finally you can do 10 times, 10 times, and 10 times easy. So you add some more weight. And let's hurry up for time's sake this morning. Let's make it 125 pounds. You do it 10 times, 8 times, 3 times. But you keep doing it day after day after day. And pretty soon you're 10, 10, and 5. 10, 10, and 7. 10, 10, 10. And then you put on some more weight. Now you're up to 150 pounds, 175, 200 pounds. You're measuring yourself with a tape measure. Your arms were 15. Now they're 16. Ah, now you're looking. Wow, 16 and 7 eighths. Boy, if I could just get it up to 17, I could make the magazines, you know. Or whatever. But there is a principle behind getting strong. You have to eat right, sleep right, exercise right, and so on, and you can make yourself strong. God has a formula for spiritual strength. You got to hear the Word of God, read the Word of God, pray in the Holy Ghost, build yourself up in your most holy faith, and then you can say, yes, Paul, I'm conducting myself like a man. I am acting manly. You told me to quit yourselves like men and be strong. You know, a lot of people think that they're going to go out and run the marathon without any practice. They're going to be laying down there with a heart attack or a stroke or on the side of the road dehydrated. You know? No, you just don't do that. You just don't wait for the race to start and then go out and run. What is it? 26 miles and 385 yards, is that it? Something like that? Okay. So you just don't get out and run a marathon without any practice. You run and run and run, maybe a mile and then two and then five and then 10, and then you go that 26 miles again so that you're not embarrassed on the day of the race. You're ready. You got ready. You prepared yourself. Listen, you're going to have a fight with the devil. If you haven't already, you will someday. It may be real soon. We need to be in shape to fight. Ted Jefferson would say that dude. We need faith. We need strong faith. Our marriages are the target of the enemy. Christian marriages are the target of the enemy. He wants to destroy. And if you can get a man or a woman spending their time watching ungodly things and to the neglect of the Holy Bible, you're going to see a marriage in trouble. The devil is targeting Christian marriages. And so men, we need faith. We need strong faith. We need to be in a church where faith is taught. We need to be in a church where faith is exercised. We need to be in a church where we quit us like men. We're strong. We act manly. And we conduct ourselves like men. We need faith. We need strong faith. Satan wants to destroy our children. He's after your children. He's after my children. He's after our children. He's after our grandchildren. He's after your great-grandchildren. He wants them all. He's out to destroy them. And to stand against the enemy, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It also says, crowd gathered, and he said, well, Jesus had already cast the devil out, and the guy was laying there, you know, and they said, he's dead. Hallelujah. Oh, how we need faith. The devil wants to abolish, exterminate our families, destroy the Christian family from off the face of the earth. We need faith. We need men with faith. Every man in this place, would you please stand? We're not excluding women. Lord Jesus, I pray for this multitude of men that are standing today. I pray, God, that you would put it in their hearts to determine that their faith will be fed, that their faith will grow, that they will pray in the Holy Ghost, building themselves up in their most holy faith. I pray, Lord Jesus, that they will not neglect their reading and meditating on the Word of God, so that they would be strong in the faith. That they would have faith, faith that is strong and faith that is quality faith, faith that is ever growing, Lord. because the enemy's coming in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Give us faith, Lord. And I pray that every one of these men will be examples to their peers. Every one of these men will be examples to their wives. Every one of these men will be examples to their children, to their families, Lord, and to their neighbors and this community and our world, Lord. Jesus, give these men, give us faith, I pray, and give our ladies faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. So the devil wants to destroy our marriages, our children, and our families. And strong men of faith will stand up and fight. They'll stand up like Sister Snow sang the other night.
Yeah, amen.
Would she stand right here behind me? She looked the part, didn't she?
Yeah.
She says, my foot's on the rock. Look the devil in the eye and say, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up.
Yeah.
See, that's determination. I like that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, Lord, Brother Tim, if I act like you do about my faith, I'm going to lose my friends. I've already lost that category of friends, so my friends are quality friends. Huh? Hello, you got it? I love it. I love it. I'm available for friendship based on the Word of God. I just don't hang around with and go places with friends, quote unquote, that I can't help grow in faith and that can't help me grow in faith. Choose your friends and witness to the lost. Choose your friends, quote unquote, and witness to the lost. Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. But you don't read in the Bible where he hung out with harlots and where he got drunk and where he cursed and swore. You don't read that. He was a friend of them. I'm a friend of sinners and publicans. Anytime they have a question, I've got an answer for them. Anytime they need love and compassion, we can provide it for them, right? We're their friends that way. But know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Therefore, whosoever shall be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Can you make the distinction there? Good. Good. Intelligent people. Praise the Lord. So strong men will resist the devil. They'll stand up, look him in the eye, and they'll fight for right. Brother Grant said here just the other day, last week ago Saturday, that right will always overcome might. I already had that written in my Bible, ... with John Grant's name after. Right will always overcome might. Don't worry about might. Don't worry about multitudes. Just worry about being right. Just right before God. And try to win everybody wrong. To write that you can. Amen. Okay, back to this, these New Hope Christian School fellas going to state. Do you ever see them? I mean, they're doing, these guys can do over 100 push-ups. And chin-ups, I mean, they just go up and down like this. Hey, that's hard work. Have you ever tried it? And sit-ups, hundreds of sit-ups. What did I hear? Somebody, 300-400 sit-ups? I mean, their stomachs are like cement blocks. You know, but they're not going to state with soft bellies. They're going to state with rock hard stomachs and competing. God bless them. God bless them. I admire your diligence in preparing yourself for a contest. Because I was looking in the paper for something for somebody the other day, and I saw this here athletic equipment for sale. I just skimmed through it. You know, like I say, it doesn't take long. Just go on that. And I couldn't help but notice all the sets of weights that were for sale, all the exercise paraphernalia that was for sale, and I couldn't help but at least two of them, maybe three more, said, never used. That tickled me. That tickled me. You know, I go to church, never use it. That's what hit me. Member of, never used. I get a bill from the church once a year. They want it. I committed myself to $2 a week. I'm talking about denominational churches. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever talked to some of these, what do we call them, the stewardship program? So I got lots of friends out there that I'm trying to win to the Lord. Okay, so I had a school teacher friend one time. He wanted me to help him with something. I went to his home. And I went down his basement, and I looked, and there was a set of weights. And honestly, they were never used. And he looked at them, and he said, yeah, I know. I said, they look brand new. How long you had them? Oh, 20 years. He said, they never really been used. He said, I get tired doing that, trying to do that. He said, the only exercise I get is dusting them. He said, and then he got humorous. He said, you know, I've been thinking of hanging a pulley there and hooking up to these weights and put a motor on it, press a button and watch them go up and down. He said, that would just do my heart good. Exercise equipment for sale, never used, brand new. Well, who knows the story behind it all? I want to be like Abraham. The Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham was first obedient. God said in Genesis 12, 1921 B.C., he said, Abraham, leave your country, leave your family, and go to a place where I'll show you. And the New Testament says that Abraham went out, not knowing whither he went. He just had a promise. He went out with nothing but a promise. And I'm going through this life with a promise. Amen. A promise. Jesus said, I'll come again. Amen. That's a promise. And I'm going through this life just looking, searching the skies. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise the Lord. He's coming from heaven, folks. That's what the Bible says. Amen. I'm going through this life with a promise. He's coming. And not only that, he gave me another promise. He gave it to you the same promise. He said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm with you until I come again, and I'll be with you forever. So Abraham did what God said. He went out. He was first obedient. And he found out that God was faithful and kept his word. Well, that built his faith. So Abraham was obedient again. Remember? And I can't go into all those stories, offering up his son Isaac and so on. Obeying God. And then God was faithful. And Abraham's faith kept growing. God told him to do something else. Abraham did it. God was faithful. That made his faith grow some more. Oh, saints of God. If we could just be obedient to God and watch God's faithfulness to his word. You know what that does to your faith? Yeah. Then he tells you to do something else, you do it. And God's faithful. Yeah. Your faith just grows and grows and grows. And so his faith just kept growing. And saints, we can do the same thing. And let me say something here. And we're getting close to closing time here. If God talks to you ladies about your hair, or you men about your hair, be obedient to him and watch your faith grow. Be obedient to God and watch your faith grow. If God deals with you about certain activities in your life that are robbing you of your time with God, be obedient to God and watch your faith grow. Can I say that again? If God deals with you about certain activities in your life that are robbing you of your time with God, be obedient to God and watch your faith grow. First of all, determine, I want more faith. Then be obedient to God and watch your faith grow. And if God is convicting you about some of the clothing in your wardrobe, be obedient to God. Whether you're young, middle-aged, or old, be obedient to God and just watch your faith grow. Then you'll be obedient again, and then your faith will grow again because God will be faithful to his word. Praise the Lord. When we say no to God, faith says farewell to us. Don't say no to God when he says, would you give this up for me? I need more of your time. I have some people that need to be witnessed to, and your paths cross occasionally or regularly or frequently. I need you to witness to them. Don't say no to God. We cannot be disobedient and pleasing to God at the same time. Disobedience is always displeasing. What did I say? Disobedience is always displeasing. No matter who's disobedient. Listen to this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing. The Lord. Teenager, do you want to have trouble in life? Rebel against your parents. Disobey your parents. You're headed for trouble. Because you're displeasing to God. And I want to tell you something. You want trouble. God can give you trouble. You want trouble? God can give you a heap of trouble. That's God. He's got it. Amen. He does it, whatever he does, wisely and discreetly, because he's God. Okay? Jesus said, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone." You know why? He said, "For I do always those things that please him." For I do always those things that please him. And we can do the same thing. Amen. Psalm 78:10 tells us that Israel kept not the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. They were disobedient. And the next verse says, no, in the same chapter it says, he forsook the tabernacle. Remember the tabernacle of the wilderness? They were disobedient and God forsook the tabernacle. So let's be obedient and experience faith that's on the grow. There's no joy like the joy that comes from obedience to God. I talked last week after the tape went off about, can an atheist be pleasing to God? No, no way. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, when it lists all the people that are going to the lake of fire, I think unbelief heads the list. All the fearful and unbelieving. It's right at the beginning almost. Unbelieving. So atheists are going to the lake of fire. Oh, you can't judge. No, I don't have to. God already did. I don't have to. If he says no harm monger is going to heaven, I don't judge it. God did already. He said marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. He doesn't mean he's waiting to make a decision on it. No. No, that's not what it means. God will judge them. They will come under the judgment of God. That's what it means. Amen. So the Bible says when an atheist comes to God, or when anybody comes to God, he's got to be sincere and he's got to be ready to change his mind if he hasn't already. Hopefully he has, but he must believe that he is. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now that doesn't mean that you believe in a higher power or an abstract theoretical first cause or the existence of a God. No. We're talking about believing in the God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's the God that's in context here. Praise the Lord. In the Bible. Amen. Jesus said, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So believing in a higher power or a first cause or a God is not enough. Pleasing God requires faith in the one true God, the self-existent one. Jehovah claimed to be self-existent in the Old Testament. In fact, that's what the very word means, self-existent. And Jesus comes along in the New Testament and says, you got to believe that I am he. I'm self-existent. As the Father had life in himself, so he gave it to the Son to have life in himself. Praise the Lord. Wow, that's good. Self-existent? Jesus? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So the one who is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him is the one.